I was driving down a West Texas highway. I seen a hitchhiker with his thumb pointing my way. He didn't look suspicious. He didn't look in it too clean. So I put on my brakes and I opened up the door. Could tell it was a bum by the...
Good morning, Texas, and welcome to the Lone Star Outdoors Show. Lyle Lovett getting things going for us this morning with West Texas Highway, and we're going to visit with one of Lyle's college buddies, actually, coming up later on the show. I'm Cable Smith. Thanks for waking up early with me right here. If you didn't know already, ESPN has agreed to terms to sell BASS to a group led by fishing legend Jerry McInnes. We're excited about that, and we're even more excited to visit with Jerry about the new direction of our great sport. That's coming up here in just a minute. Also joining the show is one of the all-time great Texas singer-songwriters and passionate outdoorsman, Robert Earl Keen. And before we get into all that good stuff, I need to remind you about our Photo of the Month contest. Not a lot of entries so far for August, so your odds are pretty good. We're giving away a grand prize trophy boar hunt at the fabulous Razorback Ranch. Lodging is included. It's the whole package, baby, and we are giving that away. All you have to do is email me your best outdoor photos to cablewaco@yahoo.com. Each monthly winner will have their photo displayed on my homepage and win a year subscription to the great publication Lone Star Outdoor News. All that in addition to your photo being entered into that grand prize trophy boar hunt at Razorback Ranch, which will be given away here at the end of the year. Also, remember, now's the time to purchase your tickets for the Dallas Ducks Unlimited Banquet coming up this November 17th. Buy your tickets before September 1st and enjoy the pre-dove season special. Check them out at dallasducks.org. And remember also, we'll be giving away an entire table to that event right here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show. Stay tuned for details on how to win that. I also want to give a warm welcome to our newest sponsor, Quattro B Bow Hunting Ranch. They are South Texas's premier bow hunting ranch, and we are thrilled to have Quattro B on board. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll dive headfirst into the future of professional bass fishing with the iconic Jerry McInnes coming up only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I love to watch sunset as it feeds behind the trees. Love to talk with God and get down upon my knee.
Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms is Texas tried and true, producing the Lone Star State's finest sodgrass for commercial, residential, and wholesale customers for 46 years. They'll even deliver anywhere in Texas. Bigfoot Turfgrass Farms also specializes in hydro seeding, irrigation, and landscape. Call 866-541-8873 or visit BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com, and you'll notice they also offer awesome South Texas dove hunting over their Frio County Turfgrass Farm. It's a dove magnet, baby, so go to BigfootTurfgrassFarms.com today. Need to buy a trailer? Well, Big Tex Trailers has you covered. From our four-wheeler trailers to heavy-duty equipment trailers, we have a trailer for every occasion and to fit every need. Stop by one of our three South Texas locations. Call Affordable Trailers on Northwest Loop 410 in North San Antonio at 210-699-6000 or Affordable Trailers on Highway 87 East in South San Antonio at 210-648-2700. Then there's our new Big Tex Trailer location on I-35 in Buda. Call 512-295-4292 or visit us at www.bigtextrailerworld.com. Big Tex Trailers, tough as a Texas Longhorn. With over $250,000 in prize money, the Southern National Archery Festival is taking the outdoor industry by storm. Taking place September 2nd through 5th at the Travis County Expo Center in Austin, it's 4 full days of competition, entertainment, and shooting. Bring the whole family as kids 16 and under register and shoot for free. Featuring guest appearances by bone collectors Travis, T-Bone Turner, and Nick Munt. Music from Asleep at the Wheel and Earl Campbell's free tailgate party. You don't want to miss the Super Bowl of archery. Visit SouthernNationalArcheryFestival.com today.
My name is Robbie Byers. I'm the executive director of CCA Texas, and I listen to the Lone Star Outdoors radio show.
You remember being just 16, all in love and feeling free. There was this girl and she filled your mind. And you said she'd be the one this time, oh, but she never turned her head when you walked.
Greatness
by.
Of Corey Morrow bringing us back from break on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. I'm Cable Smith. It is a pleasure to be here with you every Saturday. I understand that we do have a living outdoor legend on the phone, and I have a ton to ask Mr. Jerry McInnes, so let's go ahead and jump right into it. Jerry, thanks for joining the show this morning.
Well, it is certainly a pleasure to be with you.
Believe me when I say the pleasure is all mine. Well, I guess first thing is congratulations on the purchase of BASS from ESPN.
I think congratulations is right. I'm really excited about this. We certainly have our work cut out for us. Got a lot of hard work ahead of us, and that's why I'm kind of taken back when everybody always congratulates me. But I understand. I am extremely enthused about working on this project. It's a magnificent brand, and we're going to see if we can't continue to grow it.
Well, we are certainly thrilled to be sharing in that excitement with you, Jerry. Now, as the host of the Fishing Hole for over 40 years, you obviously know how to successfully present fishing to a television audience. Now that ESPN is going to be completely out of the way as far as production goes, will there be any changes in the way that BASS markets itself on television?
Well, I tell you what, probably not a lot, because we have been, my company here has been producing the Bassmaster for, 10 years or so on ESPN. Everything you've ever seen on ESPN as far as Bassmaster goes has been us. And so we've been right at the foundation of all the television production, which I think is a big part of it, the events and the membership and the publications are certainly a giant part of it too. But they all seem to spring off of television. So I'm not thinking that will be a lot different. Every year we try to make the television show a little bit better and a little bit more fan friendly, and just try to make it a better product for everyone out there, and we're very hopeful that we're going to be able to expand this a little bit. Although I am buying this from ESPN,
right?
Haven't got it done yet. Still got a few weeks to go, but everything is looking good. Along with the expanding of the television show, we're certainly growing in the on the internet as well. Boy, we've had a lot of home runs in the last 2 years over on the internet, and so we look forward to continuing that as well.
All right. Well, I do understand that you might not be able to answer this question, but I do have to ask, why is the sum that you and your group paid for BASS been kept from the public thus far?
Oh, I don't think that's really. Yeah, you're right. I can't really answer that yet. And you know, after the deal's done and all the T's are crossed and so on, somewhere along the line, we might get into a little bit of the business end of it. But right now, we really can't talk about that.
And that is totally understandable. I just had to ask, you know?
That's quite all right.
Just from an outsider looking in, you know, you've got to think that ESPN was running into some problems if they felt like they had to sell this thing. So what did they do to get themselves into that situation?
Let me back up there a little bit and say it wasn't a real case of, oh my gosh, this isn't working, we got to get out of this. ESPN started off in a new direction, I would say, in the last 6 or 8 months, and that is to have nothing on their air but events and studio shows. In a perfect world for them, they'd have their Sports Center and Sports Center type shows. They'd have studio shows and all events. Well, that started taking the regular old outdoor show that we've been producing and been involved with for years and years on Saturday and Sunday morning does not fall in that line. And so those shows started to fall by the wayside until they actually got rid of the outdoor block.
Right.
And it's just simply because that programming did not go in the direction that they wanted to go in right now. They've been very successful with them. Their ratings are always good. They've been a good business for ESPN. But they just decided to go in this other direction. And I really, I think that's important that everybody knows that, because ESPN still loves us and still thinks the outdoor and outdoor programming is a great thing. It just doesn't fit ESPN right now. Fortunately, the Bassmaster is an event. So we still fall in the right area, and so we can continue on ESPN with the Bassmaster. However, they didn't feel like they were in position to continue running it. Mm-hmm. They want to air it. They still want the programming, but they didn't want to run the organization and make all that end of it happen. So that's when they decided they would get out of it. It wasn't a deal of, oh my gosh, we gotta abandon this ship. Not at all. In fact, they quite honestly handpicked the people they wanted to own it and run it, and are still very much a big part of the Bassmaster.
Well, myself, like so many bass fishing fans, am really excited about this shakeup. You know, in the past, I feel that ESPN was so focused on ratings that they kind of lost touch with your everyday fisherman.
Well, and I guess there's something to that, is they didn't feel like they were the people to run this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, they're interested in their ratings and the business side of it. That's what they do. And boy, are they good at it.
Uh-huh.
And the fans out there, and you and I and millions of others, has benefited from that. I mean, you probably can't remember a day where there wasn't a sports center, and you know exactly what numbers to hit to get ESPN on, to get tuned into sports. And they've just been a monster in that area. But like I said, they didn't feel like they wanted to continue running this. They just want to make the television end of it work. And if you ask me what the changes are going to be, I'm not real sure about that. We want to continue like it's going. We probably want to be a little bit more transparent with all the members and the viewers and the fans out there, and we want to be a lot closer to them. And I think that both myself and Don Logan and Jim Copeland, who are also involved in this, and all three of us are bass fishing freaks,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's really important. I think that our members and fans need to know out there that we are first and foremost bass fishermen. And so I think that will cause, you know, not lots of changes, but lots of good things ahead for everybody, just simply because we are going to be just as open as we can about what we're trying to do and to have a real good relationship with all of our members out there.
And I think that's the thing that ESPN was lacking. You know, they didn't really have a relationship with the members because they were so concerned about ratings. And like you said, that's what they do. So that's understandable. But that's why we're all excited that you guys are taking over. We do have to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about possibly expanding the Elite Series. And, of course, the always controversial way the Angler of the Year postseason points are awarded. We'll be right back with more from fishing legend and new BASS owner Jerry McInnes, only on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Just exactly what we need, but I sit down by the highway, I hear those big cats growl. Where the quail gonna fly to? Where will the rabbits run now? I watch them tearing all the hell what used to be my church.
From gun dog training to obedience and deer tracking programs, Brave Retrievers has it all. Boarding, training, and group and private lessons, morning or evening, will accommodate you and your dog. Owner Deborah Lee has 30 years experience in gun dog and obedience training, and has recently added Amanda Burrell to the training staff to offer even more intensive training capabilities. With numerous ponds, creeks, boats, and duck blinds, we offer the most realistic training available. Go to www.braveretrievers.com for all your dog training and boarding needs. That's www.braveretrievers.com.
A Place to Shoot is South Texas's premier shooting facility. We have a complete rifle range featuring five different distances out to 300 yards. A pistol range with gravity-fed targets, skeet, trap, crazy quail, and country doubles. We offer everything for the shooting sportsman. New and used firearms, reloading supplies, scopes, and ammo. If we don't have it, we can usually get it within 2 days. Also offering CHL classes, located just outside Loop 410 on Morrison Boulevard in South San Antonio. Call 210-628-1888. A Place to Shoot, open 7 days a week. Call 210-628-1888.
Lock Hill Feed Store is South Texas' premier feed store. We carry a variety of feeds, including extra clean deer corn that won't clog your feeders, as well as large and small deer pellets. Also featuring Country Acre Deer Block, Record Rack, Golden Deer Nuggets, and the best-selling berry-flavored ACCO Deer Block. Conveniently located in San Antonio. Pick up a 35-pound bag of Signs Diet Premium Dog Food for only $29.99. Call Lock Hill Feed Store at 210-691-2351. That's 210-691-2351. Or call toll-free at 877-738-5296.
Southern Deer Stands manufactures the only high-quality, lightweight, aluminum-insulated hunting blinds on the market, providing years of use without any maintenance. That's right, no more rotting, rusting, or repairing. Just hunting. Southern Deer Stands' product lineup includes tower blinds with staircases, trailer blinds, and ground blinds on skids. We also have deer blind windows, doors, tower stands, and more. Whether you need one or 20 blinds, we'll deliver and set up right on your ranch or lease. Call Rob at 214-551-1530 or visit us at www.southerndeerstands.com.
Summer's in full swing, and that means dove season is right around the corner, and the beautiful Record Buck Ranch is your ticket to an awesome day of wing shooting. With over 23,000 acres stretching from Hondo to Uvalde, we book both Central and South Zone dove hunts. Day hunts are only $80 per hunter, while the exclusive two-day lodge package is a steal at $825. Call Jim at 830-279-8733 or Heath at 830-261-1802. You can also check us out at recordbuck.com. At $80 a piece, the day hunts are going fast, so give us a call and book your Texas dove hunt today.
With over $250,000 in prize money, the Southern National Archery Festival is taking the outdoor industry by storm. Taking place September 2nd through 5th at the Travis County Expo Center in Austin, it's 4 full days of competition, entertainment, and shooting. Bring the whole family as kids 16 and under register and shoot for free. Featuring guest appearances by Bone Collectors, Travis, T-Bone Turner, and Nick Munt. Music from Asleep at the Wheel and Earl Campbell's free tailgate party. You don't want to miss the Super Bowl of archery. Visit SouthernNationalArcheryFestival.com today.
I've been a rambler most of my life. Been across Texas looking for my paradise. I've been to Austin and East San Antone. That's right, my friends, let me tell you. I'm Texas to the bone, that's right. Yeah, I'm Texas to the bone, that's right, I am. You know I am Texas to the bone.
Texas to the Bone, the name of that tune by the Gringo Kings, bringing us back from break here on the Lone Star Outdoor Show this morning. I'm Cable Smith. We've still got fishing legend and new BASS owner Jerry McInnes on the line. And this segment is proudly brought to you by Spittin' Fire Jigs, Texas' premier bass fishing jig manufacturer. Check them out at spittinfirejigs.com. Spittin' Fire Jigs, feel the fire. Well, Jerry, I've still got lots of questions for you, and let's start with the one that everybody wants to know about. Skeet Reese put together the best season in Elite Series history last year, but he came up short for Angler of the Year after a controversial postseason. Can we expect a change in the postseason format?
I think we're going to really tweak that. I didn't like it any more than the fans liked it out there. I mean, I didn't like how it turned out. It didn't seem fair. However, with that said, it drew an incredible amount of interest, maybe more than the Bassmaster Classic. Our internet blew up that week, just people going crazy. A lot of it was because of, you know, they didn't like what was happening, but still it did create an awful lot of interest. And I have to say this, I'm a big baseball nut. My St. Louis Cardinals squeaked in to the playoffs. Let's see, that's been about 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. They just barely made it in. They shouldn't have been in. They were a terrible team. And they got in and they got hot for about 2 weeks and won the World Series. That's exactly what happened here. A few guys just barely got in. I don't say Kevin just barely got in, but there was one point two or three events before the playoffs where he was out of it, and he did just barely get in, and then he turned around and won it. But yeah, I understand what everybody's saying. They don't think it was fair, and I don't either. But everyone needs to realize we were trying to create a playoff. The goal was not to win the points race during the season. The goal was to make the playoffs where you start over and decide a champion. So there are some arguments both ways. And I've went a long way here to kind of answer your question, but the question is, yes, we are going to tweak that and do some changes and make it a little bit better. But we had a big time with it, I'll tell you that.
Well, it certainly did create a lot of interest.
Uh-huh.
Well, Jerry, for the first time in a while, the Elite Series downsized last year. You know, do you think we'll get those tournaments back and maybe even add a couple more in the future?
The Elite Series, for the most part, was our baby, mine and a couple more people here at our place there, and was really hurt when we had to lose two or three events, and we had to lose those two or three events simply because it was a losing proposition, and the economy got really bad, and our sales were bad, and it just had to be done. Now we're going to try to dig in and start going in the other direction here. Now that it seemed as though maybe the economy is turning around a little bit more, and we're bringing in more interest in the sport with this transition. And I realize this is what I'd probably be expected to say is yes, we're going to try to build them back. But I'm not kidding you. We are going to try our darndest to build them back.
All right. Well, what do you think about a tournament coming to the North Texas area sometime in the near future?
We're going to try to get around cover all of our bases, but we are certainly open to that. Absolutely.
Sounds good to me. Jerry, do you think there's a real issue with Elite Series pros obtaining insider information, whether it's from a guide or another person that lives within close proximity of a lake that the series is heading to? I've read multiple articles claiming that all the guys should be polygraphed prior to fishing every tournament. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't know who would be saying that. Our guys are not allowed to get information, and we police it pretty regularly, and they police themselves. Has that cut out every single bit of it? No, I don't guess it has. There's probably a little bit that goes on. However, the elites are pretty special to get in. There's people killing to try to get in them now. And to think that you would come in and you would finally qualify and get in the elites and then make this mistake of talking to a guide on Sam Rayburn 2 weeks before the tournament goes to Sam Rayburn, you know, to think that you would try that and try to get away with it and lose your spot on the elites forever, probably, would be a pretty major thing. I think we've done I don't know about anybody else. I don't know about any other events, but I know our guys on our elites personally, almost every one of them. And that doesn't go on with us. It just doesn't. I think we've done a great job of fixing it where you are really out there on your own.
Well, that is more than a satisfactory answer, and I appreciate your frankness on the issue.
Well, and you know, you get down to like our opens and weekend series and so on. We sure try to police them too, but we don't. But we can't do it as well as we do in the elites. And I think I really do think we're growing a group of anglers. They're almost like golfers. You know, golfers take care of themselves. They've got their rules and their rule book, and they've got officials looking over everything. But for the most part, if you don't sign your scorecard, if you don't do, you know, they've got a lot of unusual rules that the competitor himself would be the only one that knew he broke that,
right.
and they police it. And I think we've started that. Started that same thing in fishing, and our elites can just grow that.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. They really are a fine group of guys.
Yeah.
Jerry, I just want to reiterate how excited we are to have a true ambassador of bass fishing once again at the helm of our sport. You know, it hasn't been like that since Ray Scott Jr. sold BASS, and we are all really pumped to see what the future holds for bass fishing.
Well, I really appreciate you saying that. I do feel like there's a lot of truth in that. It's kind of human nature that big corporation buys something, and you have been dealing with that something all your life, you know, personally. like this big food chain, Kroger's, goes in and buys your little corner grocery store downtown. You're automatically mad at Kroger. and by gosh, you don't go to the little grocery store anymore. You know what I mean? That's exactly what happened here. ESPN is wonderful people. I've said this many, many times. I have ESPN blood in me because I started with them when they started, and I still know the people, and they're a wonderful company. But they are Kroger's. You know, they're the big grocery store, uh-huh. and they're successful, and they're moving along, and in our little world, they're not able to touch the members and the bass fishermen like I can, and like Don Logan can, and so we're very hopeful that that's going to be a big plus for us, and I think it will.
Jerry, who is the greatest angler that you've ever fished with?
Oh, it's me. There's no doubt. Oh, man, let me just throw out two or three. I fished, I know who the best angler I've ever fished with is. His name's Glenn Andrews. Nobody out there knows him. I don't know him from a load of coal. He was a guide on Greer's Ferry Lake, and I grew up with him, and still he still lives in Lead Hill, Arkansas, on Bull Shoals Lake, but I kind of pass over him because nobody knows who he is. The other one I would have to throw out there, though, that people know is Bobby Murray. I've fished with Bobby all my life, and Bobby won the first Bassmaster Classic. I think he's in the conversation. I fish a lot with Van Dam, and good grief, that guy's—he's out of his mind. He is so friggin' good. I'm gonna just kind of leave it with those three guys. I'm probably skipping over a couple here that I should have thrown in, but those, boy, those are awful good ones.
Can't argue with that list, my friend. Jerry, in a lifetime of amazing fishing trips, you know, you fished for salmon in Alaska with Ted Williams and Bobby Knight by your side. It's a classic episode of The Fishing Hole, but, you know, you've taken so many amazing fishing trips all over the globe. If you had to choose just one that stands out from the others, which one would it be?
Okay, I went to, and a couple of them would involve Coach Knight. He and I fished together lots, and it is an adventure every time you go. He's an adventure when you go out to lunch with him or something. But those have always been great trips. But some years ago, about the mid-80s, I would imagine, I went to British Columbia to fish for steelhead trout with Forrest Wood, and neither of us had been there, we knew we were going to get in good fishing. My gosh, they're not going to invite us up there and take us into bad fishing. Mm-hmm. But we fished the little streams, little wild streams in British Columbia, and I say wild because they had no access. You had no way of getting to them other than a helicopter. And we just happened to have a helicopter, and the two of us flew around these little streams and caught these big old steelhead. And Forrest Wood's kind of like Coach Knight. Every trip you make with him is a real is something you always remember. But the mystique of that particular trip in the great fishing and being up there with Forrest was probably the best. It was the best week of fishing I've ever had in my life.
Sounds absolutely amazing. Well, Mr. McInnes, that is all the time we have for this morning. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you.
It really is my pleasure. I can't tell you in the past several weeks since this announcement has been out. And let me say one more time that this hasn't done yet. I haven't finalized this yet. It's still work in progress. But the response has been overwhelming. It wasn't like I thought there was going to be people throwing rocks at me, but I didn't expect it was going to be this wonderful from this many people from coast to coast. So I certainly appreciate that, and I really have enjoyed talking with you this morning. I'm getting to talk about my favorite subject, and that's bass fishing.
It has been an honor, and I can't wait to see what the future has in store for our great sport.
Okay, please holler back at me. Let's try it again about a year from now or 6 months from now, and I'll give you a progress report.
That sounds like a great idea.
Okay, thank you.
Wow, that was truly something special talking to one of the all-time greats from the fishing industry, Jerry McInnes. And we'll definitely be taking Jerry up on that progress report here in about 6 months. Well, we do have to take a quick break, but don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we'll visit with one of Texas's finest singer-songwriters. It's the great Robert O'Keen, coming up only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
If I could live my life all over, it wouldn't matter anyway, 'cause I never could stay sober.
Howdy, South Texas. Cable Smith here to tell you about Prusky's Meat Market and Wild Game Processing. USDA inspected and approved, Prusky's offers choice and certified Angus beef steaks, custom cut however you want. Prusky's also has fresh MSG and nitrate-free sausage, custom smoked hams, ham bacon, and bacon. Visit www.pruskysmarket.com or call 210-649-2151. Prusky's Market, from our smokehouse to your house, the quality you remember with the service you deserve.
Lehman H Feeders has been making the highest quality feeder for 45 years, and it takes 45 years to get 45 years of experience. Manufactured in Texas, we offer feeders for deer, quail, fish, pets, and livestock, and even songbirds. Some of our feeders are still operating in the field after 40 years of use. Makers of the trusted Blind Buddy and Blind Buddy Jr., our feeders are the most durable and user-friendly on the market. Visit www.lehmanhfeeders.com, because life's too short to buy a cheap feeder. That's lehmanhfeeders.com.
Howdy, Texas hunters. Texans have deep-rooted traditions that kick off every hunting season, whether you're planning a work day at the lease or getting the party list together for opening weekend of dove season. It's all part of the annual tradition. I want to tell you about a company that's becoming a part of my annual tradition, and that's GameGuard. GameGuard's been family-owned and operated in Texas since 2003 and is quickly becoming the first choice in apparel for Texas hunters. Dove season is fast approaching, and with this summer that we're having, the GameGuard vent-back shirt is a must to stay cool. And oh, don't forget to ice down your favorite beverage in the GameGuard cooler bag. GameGuard Camouflage is committed to quality and dedicated to their loyal customers and would love to be a part of your family tradition. GameGuard can be found in many fine retailers or on the web at GameGuard.net. And by the way, thanks for supporting a Texas-based company.
Hey, Ticketheads, Wes Lundy here, owner and operator of Double Diamond Outfitters, Texas' premier outfitting service. I'm currently booking South Texas Trophy Whitetail hunts, as well as exotic hunts for axis and fallow deer, red stag, and many others. Check out my website at www.huntdoublediamond.com to find out about my West Texas Trophy Audad and Pronghorn Antelope hunts. Fall whitetail hunts are going fast, so call me, Wes, at 210-602-3118, or visit huntdoublediamond.com and let me take you on the hunt of a lifetime.
Cable Smith here to tell you about Star S Ranch. Frankly, it's the place to hunt trophy whitetails in Texas. I know, because I've been there and seen their huge bruisers firsthand. Featuring top-notch accommodations with 150 to 220 class bucks harvested annually, Star S Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Located in Mason County's beautiful southern Texas hill country, Star S Ranch also offers trophy exotic hunts. Visit www.star-s-ranch.com. That's star-s-ranch.com to book your hunt today.
All right, this is Phil Robertson, better known as the Duck Commander. This is the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I was a highwayman, along the coach roads I did ride, with sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade.
Now that might be impossible to beat. One group comprised of Willie, Waylon, Johnny Cash, and Chris Christofferson. Whew, that's a lot of talent. And speaking of country music talent, of the Texas variety, Robert Earl Keen, is on the telephone. But before we start visiting with Robert, I need to remind you about our Southern Deer Stands Deer Blind contest. The photos are starting to trickle in. Once you have your deer blind up and ready to go for the upcoming season, submit your photos to cablewaco@yahoo.com. We've got three fabulous prize packages to give away. Go to deerblindcontest.com for more details. Now, without further ado, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Robert Earl Keen. Thanks for joining the show this morning.
Thank you, Cable.
It's not every day that we get to visit with one of the Lone Star State's greatest songwriters and storytellers.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well, as usual, it looks like you've been pretty busy. Well, last year, you released Rose Hotel, which has done very well. And it seems like you're always touring, Robert, and now is no different. So how's life been out on the open road lately?
Well, we've had a lot of shows. We did a bunch of stuff with Dave Matthews in June, and then we did some shows, a couple around Texas. Then we went to France in late July, and we just got back from New Mexico this week, and now we're back out hitting the road, going to come up your way and then go to Points West out there in California, Oregon, Washington.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Never slows down for you, huh?
Well, it doesn't slow down very long, you know, just about long enough to turn the cycle on the wash machine.
Well, I want to get into, obviously, the role the outdoors has played in your life, Robert. But first, a couple music-related questions this morning. What do you think about the direction of Texas country music? You know, it seems like a lot of these new bands, they look more like punk rockers than good old boys like you and me.
Uh-huh. Well, people are always changing the nature of music, and that's just, you know, that's part of it. I mean, you know, you start out one way and you have one vision, and then you end up playing another way. I think a lot of the way that Texas music goes is it's somewhat echoing some of the vibe that you know, national music is. I think a lot of it sounds you know, more groove oriented and less content oriented when you're talking about, like, you know, lyrics. You know, the lyrics are kind of you know, fun and happy, and but the beat and the groove is really good. So I think a lot of it is more musical and less lyrical than it has been in the past.
It's unfortunate, I think, but anyway, you were born in Houston,
uh-huh.
And I know that the outdoors has played a significant role in your life, as evidenced by your music.
Right.
So who instilled that fire and that passion for the outdoors in you?
Oh, my God. My parents had a little place outside of Houston when I was when I was about 4 years old. They bought this place, and we went there every weekend, and my dad, I mean, it was a big joke among the family. My dad would just, you know, would hand me and whatever friend I had, he wouldn't even know who it was, you know, to some other kid. They'd hand us a couple of loaded 22s and say, "Get the hell out of here. Go do something with yourselves." And, you know, we would be 7 years old and just running around in the woods with a loaded gun. And fortunately for us, no one ever got hurt. And I always just found this great attraction to just the whole, be it whether it was a fantasy and just kind of pretending you're off in the woods in some jungle or something, or just really, you know, going out and getting a pup tent and camping out all weekend. It was always, you know, one of my all-time favorite things to do, and I did it over and over and over and over for years and years. So being outside always seems to have something to do with not only just being able to open up my mind and make me feel better, but I also have really recently found out that I just kind of, in retrospect, looking back at all the songs that I've written, I've almost written all my songs somehow sort of in the outdoors, not really locked up into some little room or in a cubicle or anything, and it seems to have some effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
So the outdoors is a big part of not only my, you know, my the way that I like to live my life, but also my creative life.
Well, Robert, it sounds like you probably have a million of them, but if you had to pick just one, what was your favorite hunting or fishing memory growing up?
Oh man, I don't know. You know, well, some of my fondest were with my best friend Brian Duckworth, who used to play the fiddle in my band, and Duckworth and I used to really from the time we were about 12 years old on, used to just spend weekends anywhere. We would stop at, say, you know, just at a river, say where the Colorado River meets I-10 or something there by Sealy or something, and just pull off the road and then walk for miles and miles up and down river. So some of my fondest memories had to do with you know, being a kid and walking for miles and miles with the rod and reel and walking up and down a river and just fishing in any place that looked like it had might have a fish in it.
Oh, those are the times that I wish I could have back. Me and my brother, my buddies walking down to the creek behind our house growing up, you know, just like you, you know, those were some of the best times of my life.
Right.
Robert, let's fast forward a few years now to your time at A&M. In 1974, you rented a house from Jack Boyette, and that is where you met your buddy Lyle Lovett.
Right.
So when you guys would sit out there on Sunday mornings and play by the Presbyterian Church,
right.
So were y'all boxer guys, or were you out there in your tidy whities?
At the time, we were brief guys. Yeah, I think boxers came along more in my sort of in the period after I graduated and became more of a professional slacker.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just going to help paint that picture a little more clearly when we're singing along to the song now.
Yeah, it was just basically one of those houses. I think every any college campus has a few houses like this, and you could find them today. It's just one of those places where you drive by, there was always somebody hanging out. There's always somebody, you know, maybe they're cooking out, or they got an ice chest going and a cookout going and a banjo going, and it was just a constant stopover for anybody that just wanted to hang out when they were, you know, on their way or on the way to class, to or from class.
Oh, man, my brother and I shared a place like that in college, and we had some cockroaches the size of a cell phone running around that place.
But, yeah, well, you know, you got to share your food with somebody, I guess.
Well, much like myself, I see you spent a significant amount of time in college, and I took about 8 years myself. It looks like you enjoyed a similar run. So what was the greatest contributing factor to such an illustrious college career?
Well, I would say, you know, hanging out with my friends, you know, that seemed to be that was the most important thing to me. And, and studying was secondary. And it finally was at a certain point in that I realized that, you know, that my friends were leaving. And if I wanted to, you know, follow them down the road and have another experience, then I needed to graduate. So about that time, I finally went, okay, I better start, you know, instead of taking 6 hours or 9 hours, you know, I started taking, you know, real 16 and 18 hour sort of semesters,
right,
and stuff. But a lot of it was, you know, had to do with, you know, I was just, you know, having fun. I was making the most of it.
Well, I can't fault you for that, having been there and done that. Now, did you guys do much hunting or fishing in college?
Oh, man, we used to go down to the Brazos River. That was where I learned the magic of the helgramite. Have you ever used helgramites for fishing?
No.
Well, I forgot what fly that they are, but they're basically a dragonfly larva, and you can kick over rocks and find helgramites, and they look just like a centipede. They're about 4 inches long, and they got a bunch of legs, and they got a pincher on the front end, and they can certainly grab you, and they got a kind of a pincher looking thing on the back end, and they're built like leather. They're so tough and rubbery. Anyway, you can take it. You kick over a bunch of rocks. If you're especially if you're in kind of milky or Brazos water looking, Brazos River water looking stuff, kick over a bunch of rocks and then go downstream just a little bit and catch them as they kind of float by, and you know, put them in a can, and then you can put a hook on them. And I swear you can use a helgramite 10 times because they're so tough. But fish love them, especially catfish. So
nice.
We used to do a lot of fishing there, and then I had a friend that he thought I had this. His friend Ronnie West from Jordan in Texas. I thought he was Jim Bridger or Kit Carson or something, and he used to trap animals and do all this sort of stuff and wear this mountain man gear, and it was really crazy. And I mean, I tell you, if you wanted to build some kind of tribute to not having girls around, we certainly built that for sure. I mean, there were, like, you know, we had these wild game dinners and you know, our house smelled like fish all the time. So it was certainly a man cave, as they call them now.
Well, man caves are certainly a good thing. Well, we do have to take a quick break, but y'all don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we'll find out about the inspiration behind songs like Corpus Christi Bay and obviously 5-Pound Bass. We'll even find out how Robert manages the whitetail herd on his Medina Ranch. We're coming right back with more from the great Robert Earl Keen, only on the Lone Star Outdoors Show.
There was something spooky in his voice and something strange on his face. And when he shut the lid, I saw my name was on the case.
Barefoot Fishing Tours and guide Charles Whited is South Texas' premier largemouth guide service. Charles not only puts you on fish, but he also teaches adults and kiddos the techniques and strategies needed to land big bass. With two Bass Champs Angler of the Year awards and a record 44.98-pound five-fish stringer on Choke Canyon, his achievements speak for themselves. Fishing Choke Canyon, Bastrop, Browning, and Canyon Lake, call Charles at 512-557-6772. That's 512-557-6772, or visit barefootfishingtours.com.
Located on 12,500 acres in South Texas's beautiful Sutton County, McPherson Forum Ranch is a one-of-a-kind operation. Owner and operator Sandy McPherson takes pride in running a family-owned and operated ranch that caters towards each hunter's needs. Trophy whitetails roam the ranch's beautiful hill country terrain, and axis, fallow, and black buck hunts are also available. Outstanding lodging and accommodations are also a part of the experience at McPherson Forum Ranch. Call Sandy at 210-827-2915. That's 210-827-2915, or visit McPherson4MRanch.com today.
Kenneth Henneke's Fish Hatchery has been serving Texas for over 30 years, and we carry every fish you need to stock your ponds, lakes, creeks, and rivers. From all types of bass, perch, tilapia, to shad, and various catfish, we have what you need and are the only hatchery that offers the fast-growing F1 hybrid catfish. Centrally located in Hallettsville, we deliver anywhere in Texas. So give us a call at 361-798-5934. That's 361-798-5934. Or visit our website at www.hennekehatchery.com.
Listen up, ticketheads. When you harvest that wall-worthy trophy, there's only one choice: Rustic Reminders Taxidermy. My friends Josh and Becky have over 19 years combined experience in taxidermy and reproduction mounts. Whether you take down a 200-class whitetail, an African rhino, or a trophy largemouth, Rustic Reminders does it all, producing top-quality mounts while maintaining focus on quick turnaround time. Located between San Antonio and New Braunfels, call Rustic Reminders at 210-317-7292 or visit www.gr8mounts.com. That's gr8mounts.com.
Are you looking for the perfect way to get around your ranch or lease? Bad Boy Buggies of the Hill Country and B3HC Outfitters have a full line of electric four-wheel drive Bad Boy Buggies, and we customize it the way you want it. Gun and bow racks, off-road lighting, even feeders. We can add them all to your Bad Boy. Also specializing in custom metal arts and gate signs, as well as custom golf carts for street and off-road applications. Conveniently located in San Marcos, call 512-667-6005 or visit www.b3hc.com. That's b3hc.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Dance, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Your heart's on the loose.
All right, great stuff there from Ryan Bingham. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming you back to the Lone Star Outdoor Show. And we've still got one of the good old boys from Texas country music on the line. Robert Earl Keen was nice enough to stick around through the break. And since we are hard up for time, I say we pick it up right where we left off. And Robert, I want to know specifically about the inspiration behind two songs, Corpus Christi Bay and obviously 5-Pound Bass.
I spent my brother lived down there, so I used to go down there and see him all the time. But I spent an entire summer down there from about mid-May to almost, well, to the 1st of September, and I worked on a rig down. I worked on a rig down there for a outfit out of Alice, Texas, and I worked. It was a 6-day a week job, and it was an 8-hour shift sort of thing. So I worked there in the summers to, you know, make money for college, and it was that experience there, because my brother was, we were both, I was real young and he was pretty young, and we just didn't really sleep. I mean, we didn't sleep the whole summer, you know. It was just, we'd go to work, he worked in the oil field as well, so we'd go to work and, you know, catch up with each other, you know, after work, and then we would go, I don't know, tear up everything in Corpus, and had this amazing to get out alive sort of summer. So that's really pretty much the essence of that song, and that's where that song comes from. Mm-hmm. The 5 pound bass was when I lived in Austin. I lived with this guy that was really an incredible musician and an actor and a kind of a he was everything. He was a magician. He was a psychic, and but the biggest thing was he was a fisherman. He loved to fish, and he used to always talk about going out and catching the wily bass in his watery lair, you know, and we went fishing all the time. This was after I graduated from college, but we went fishing all the time. And he was the first person I ever learned that, you know, particularly in the world of bass fishing, that you can be really good at it, and you can really outfish somebody. He'd outfish me like. I thought I was a good fisherman, and he'd outfish me like 10 fish to one, you know. Mm. And he was somebody who really taught me how to fish, particularly, you know, in the largemouth bass world. So in some ways, a lot of that stuff is all put together, you know, with some of his description, and particularly with him in mind when I wrote it.
And what is your personal best largemouth, Robert?
Oh, I caught an 8 pound bass in Mississippi just last summer.
Dang.
Just you know, catch and release sort of thing. But this guy invited me to go fishing, and we went to all these little bitty lakes, you know, with a little bitty kind of John boat and stuff, and you know, caught some big fish, and you know, I caught a really beautiful 8 pound bass.
Man, that's a big fish.
Yeah, it is. This dude caught a 10 pound that same day, man. It was amazing. And like, he caught it at noon. It was unbelievable. I was like, wow.
What'd you catch it on?
We were catching it on plastic worms, man. I mean, I'm a firm believer of the plastic, you know.
No more halgramites, huh?
No. Halgramites are, you know, that's that old kind of Huck Finn bait fishing kind of thing.
Well, you now live in Kerrville, and you have a ranch out there in Medina.
Uh-huh.
So how much time do you actually get to spend in the outdoors these days, you know, with life on the road and all?
I don't fish much. Three or four times a year, but it's always on, you know, somebody's invitation. Somebody says, you know, they're going to be down at the coast and go speck fishing or red fishing or something like that. Or I was in Florida in May, and I went deep sea fishing, caught some sailfish and stuff with some guys. Nice. But it's kind of not the same, you know. I mean, I enjoy it and it's fun, but it's a lot of rigging for, you know, just a few fish. If you really want to compare experiences, that one that I explained to you earlier about, you know, walking a river for miles and miles and miles and never knowing what's, you know, coming up next, is, you know, always had the magic that I'm more inclined to believe in. But as far as hunting, I hunt every year. I mean, as far as like a deer hunt, and I particularly like to. I have a friend that lives down in Hebronville, mm-hmm. and invites me to go quail hunting every year, which is a great, great sport, and that's hard to come by to get even an invite to good quail hunting these days. And then I go there right here south of Kerrville, 40 miles south of Kerrville in Hondo, the first couple of weeks of September is as good at dove hunting as you can find anywhere in the United States. So,
oh, no doubt about that.
So I go hunting. I go dove hunting.
You're also pretty fortunate to have a nice place to go hunt wild quail. I mean, that's pretty uncommon these days.
Yeah, it's just rare, you know. I mean, I've done some of those kick and shoot things, and that's not anything comparative at all. That's like a go-kart compared to a NASCAR.
Uh-huh. What about hogs? I bet you've got a pretty decent hog problem out there in Medina.
I see a lot of hogs, and I shoot hogs occasionally, but they tear up a few things, but I don't have, you know, I don't farm anything, and I don't have, you know, pristine pastures. It's kind of rough old hill country stuff, so, you know, I kind of like to see the hogs, you know. Like I say, and I have friends that, you know, want to shoot a hog. I go, come on, we'll go shoot a hog. I can find you a hog. That's not a problem.
Right on. Now, are you interested in deer management? Are you more of a, if it's brown, it's down type of guy?
Well, I don't have it. You know, I don't do the high fence stuff, but I certainly feed all year round, and I try to, you know, feed, you know, some protein and stuff, but only in the idea that, you know, it's just better for the deer. I feel like I know some people that I've talked to, some of these agriculture guys and wildlife guys, and you know, they just say that we're really overpopulated. So I can't do anything about the overpopulation, but I can certainly do something about, you know, feeding, you know, particularly during dry periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a small, you know, not very well defined program, but it's just about, you know, making sure your deer are getting some food and stuff.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a good job of managing your herd to me. Now, I did promise a friend that I would ask you, what are your thoughts on antler restrictions?
Man, I don't know. I you know, as far as like the deer that I shoot, I try to shoot the things that I think are more culls, and I leave the bigger deer to you know. I don't know if some kid I take wants to go deer hunting. I look for a bigger deer. But as far as when I hunt, I shoot does and I shoot small bucks.
And that's deer management right there, man.
Yeah.
Now, are you a rifle or bow hunter?
I do both, but I did both for about 10 years, and I love bow hunting, and there's nothing like being out there, you know, at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning before the sun comes up and hearing and listening to stuff and or being there when, you know, when something comes up to where you can, you know, get a shot and stuff. But, I'll tell you, I realized after I think I sat at about 1,000 hours in a tree that it takes up a lot of time, and I have a few friends that I go bow hunting with, but I feel like guns are, I think deer hunting particularly is a social event, I think it somehow strikes us at our very core of that hunter-gatherer mentality, and I find that, you know, you can always find gun hunters, and, you know, you can't hang out and go to the deer camp and drink whiskey and you sing songs, and then you go out and shoot some deer, and you come back and do some more of that sort of stuff, and have a lot of laughs, and bow hunters, the ones that I know that I do hunt with and stuff, are pretty serious, man. You know, you get up early, you go sit in your blind, and you come back and you say, did you shoot anything? No. Did you see anything? Yeah, I saw one little old doe. I said, did you get a shot? No. And that's pretty much the end of the conversation, you know. So I do kind of like the whole camaraderie. I decided after years of bow hunting that I really love the camaraderie of the whole deer hunt and the social aspect of deer hunting, and you don't quite get it with bow hunting. I know there's some bow hunter out there going, oh man, we do all that stuff, but you know, I've yet to run into it. And I know some really great bow hunters and some fun guys and stuff, but it's just not exactly the same.
Definitely some truth to that. Now, where's the coolest place that you've ever hunted or fished?
Oh man, I went fly fishing on this PLM place in Wyoming that this guy took me out to and just dropped me off, you know, and you know, early morning, and it was really great because it wasn't like I fished like on the Snake River and some of the, you know, bigger rivers that you would know, but this was a creek that ran through this giant ranch, and I walked for miles and miles and miles and fished, you know, with a, you know, fly fished in water that I swear wouldn't even hardly hold a minnow, you know, and all of a sudden you would catch like, you know, a 3-pound trout or something in one of these places, and it was really, you know, it was great. As far as a really memorable, great fishing experience, I always think that was one of my favorite fishing experiences, especially because, you know, it's always fun to catch something on a fly rod.
Sounds amazing. I'm just getting into fly fishing myself. Now, last question, Robert, bucket list. Anything that you haven't shot or caught that you want to before your days are up?
That's a good question. I do. I wanted to go up to like Saskatchewan, where they have those big, huge 230-pound whitetail deer, you know,
uh-huh.
And they don't hunt on feeders or anything there. They just, you know, hunt on trails. And I've, you know, read a few things about some of those, and I'd really like to go on a real wild, you know, whitetail hunt. I like mule deer and all that other stuff, but that would be a bow hunting thing. I think that it would, like, really, you know, bow hunting in some really wild place like Saskatchewan would be just fantastic.
Now that would be awesome. Well, Robert, I really have enjoyed our time this morning.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot, Cable. I really appreciate it, man.
It has been a real pleasure, my friend. Everyone go check out RobertEarlKeen.com for latest tour dates, merchandise, and, of course, the latest album, Rose Hotel. I guess you're about to head off to the Great Northwest.
Yes, I am. All right. Probably going to get some fishing in up there.
Well, keep us posted.
All right, man. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Big round of applause there for one of my favorite artists, Robert Earl Keen. What a genuinely nice guy. I really enjoyed talking to him. Well, we are out of time for today. Thanks to our guests, of course, Robert, as well as Jerry McInnes. Be sure to tune in next week as we talk about what's inside a whitetail stomach and perhaps why you should open it up once you harvest a deer. We'll be doing that with Caesar Kleberg Wildlife Research Institute biologist. Wow, it's a mouthful. Anyway, Dave Hewitt will be on the show next week. Thanks to all of our fine sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of the Lone Star Outdoors Show. I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors. Tell me, baby, why